Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. Angie still has the same top pros and reviews you've counted on for more than 20 years, only now you'll also get access to all the tools you need to make your home a happy place. Inside, outside, big or small, Angie helps you find the right solution for whatever you need done, all from your phone. It's simple to find upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. You can even search pricing guides to see what others paid for similar jobs and easily compare quotes from top local pros to make sure you're getting a fair price. From lawn care to repairing the AC to the project of your dreams, Angie has your home projects handled from start to finish. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, they'll cover your project up to the full purchase price plus limited damage protection with their happiness guarantee. Make your home an Angie home. Check out Angie.com today. And for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hollywood Improv. Make some noise. And without further ado, on behalf of everyone at the Hollywood Improv, thank you for coming out to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. And now please put some hands together for your host and creator of the show, Miss Christine Blackburn.
Hey, welcome to Story Smash, you guys, the storytelling game show. My name is Christine Blackburn. Welcome to the Hollywood Improv. You guys are here on a fantastic night. Wait until you see the talent. You won't believe it. We're going to get started right away and reveal the Wheel of Stories. There are 13 permanent topics on the wheel and one additional space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, they can choose any topic on the wheel. There's also two spaces that say audience, and if they land on that, well, that's when you guys come into play and you can choose any story topic you'd like to hear, shout them out, and our expert judges will choose one of those topics. And speaking of expert judges, let's bring them up right away, you guys. Our first judge coming to the stage is Danny Zucker. He's an Emmy Award television writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family, but most importantly, this is his fourth time judging Story Smash, you guys. His new book, He Started It, comes out this spring, and it chronicles his Twitter war with President Donald Trump. Follow this American hero over on Twitter, at Danny Zucker. You guys, put your hands together for Danny Zucker! All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is Wendy Liebman. You know, she's been a regular on late-night television, including Carson, Fallon, Letterman, Kimmel, Ferguson, and Leno. And she was recently a recipient of the American Comedy Award for Best Female Comedian, and she currently co-hosts Unbound with Terry Noon on KCSN 88.5 FM in Los Angeles. Follow her on Twitter, at Wendy Liebman. You guys, put your hands together for Wendy Liebman. Woo! Woo! Here she comes. She has also judged the show before, so she knows what she's doing. And the third judge coming up right now, who has also judged this show, he is amazing. His name is Wayne Fetterman, you guys. He's a comedian and an actor and a writer, and along with Judd Apatow, he recently produced the HBO documentary The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling. And you've seen him, yeah, right?
It's the
so
best.
Good. You've seen him on HBO's Crashing, which I also adore, but you probably best known Fetterman from his classic arguments and battles with Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm. You can find him over on Twitter, at Fetterman. You guys, put your hands together for Wayne Fetterman!
I didn't know I was going to get an ow. Thank you.
All right, you guys, this is so exciting. Tonight we're playing three rounds of Story Smash. The first round is a one-minute story, second round, 2 minute, and then two contestants go on for a three-minute story. And when the contestant comes to the stage, I'm going to say, tell him what to do, and then you say... Yeah, but you have to say it a lot better than that, you guys. So I say, tell him what to do, and you say...
Spin that wheel!
See, I think they'll do it.
No, they're going to be great.
I think these guys, I think they're going to spin the wheel. That's what I think. Are you all right? You guys?
No, I just want to make sure I was on airplane mode. That's
okay.
All.
Wendy, are you on airplane mode?
I am. I heard we're getting paid in Bitcoin. Is that true?
that is true.
I'm expecting a really important phone call, so I'm sorry.
Oh, you're not.
I can't turn it off. Well,
if and when you have to take it, you can do that. No problem at all. All right, you guys, all the contestants are right here in this jar. I'm going to pull a name out right now. That first contestant coming to the stage for a true one-minute story. And I have to tell you, this is not easy. This is not easy, so they need your love.
Hosting like
the hosting is not
easy. Yeah, that's how I thought.
And also, telling a one-minute story is not easy, so they need your love. All right, you guys, the first contestant coming to the stage is Paul Walling, you guys. Paul Walling. Ooh. You may recognize Paul Walling's body proportions from his work as a wardrobe fit model for Hugh Jackman in The Greatest Showman. Ah, I love that. He has appeared in the television series Blind Spot, The Blacklist, and The Nick. And Paul is also the co-creator of the Emmy Award screenplay Pick Me Up. You can find Paul over on Twitter at Paul_Walling. All right, you guys, put your hands together for Paul Walling. And now tell him what to do.
It's a very ginger spin.
Oh. Mom.
It landed on wow. No. I'm sorry. With a bad angle.
Oh, wow.
The topic is mom. My mom had a very busy 1970s. She had three kids before me. She moved away from Ohio and away from her abusive first husband to Florida, where she met my father, who had never been married before, at least never had any kids before, and they had me. Then they soon thereafter got divorced. Recently, I started doing the DNA testing, and I realized that something wasn't quite adding up. So I asked my mother last summer, "Mom, is there a chance that somebody else might be my dad?" And she said, "No." I mean, what do you think? I was just boinking other people? She literally said boinking. And I will never get that out of my ears, and now neither will you. And I said, "Look, it was the 70s. I'm not judging you."
Oh, all right, Paul Walling. Woo! Paul Walling. All right.
Wow.
Danny Zucker.
You know, I was thinking about this genetic testing thing, and I had a very weird reaction to, because I did the 23andMe stuff, which is super boring if you're Jewish, because it's like, it comes back, I don't know a Jew who isn't disappointed by it, because it's all like Ashkenazi Jew, 99%, and you just feel like, oh, fuck. But when they caught the Golden State Killer through this, and I thought, I was like, that's bullshit, and then I thought, like, why am I upset about this? Like, I've gone 54 years without murdering or raping anybody. Like, there's no chance I'm going to do it. So it's probably a good thing. I don't know. I've just been thinking about this.
You
a
were
lot.
Worried?
I don't know. I was like, oh, I did it. What? And I had a moment of like, oh my god, they can catch. But I haven't done anything.
Right.
It's like, holy shit! I've done nothing.
Because your DNA is like all over that microphone right now.
Oh my god! It's like, yeah.
All right, Wayne Fetterman.
Yes.
I had a
well,
dirty
this
joke.
Is weird because I am also from Florida and lived there in the '70s. But I was a kid, so I can't be your dad. Right. I was a kid at the time, but I'll just do my famous joke, which was it was tough growing up in Florida because all my friends were retired. Classic Wayne Fetterman.
That's awesome.
Wendy Liebman, tell me about the relationship with your mom.
My mom, and I'm very close with my mother genetically. And I got my sense, so like 99.6% Ashkenazi Jew,
yes.
Although I still don't know that it's Passover unless they're selling matzah at Ralph's. But I like your mom, and I like that she used the word boinking.
Me too.
I think that's cute. Is that all I need to say?
No, that's great. Okay. Awesome. All right, Paul Walling, you guys. Put your
Thank
hands
you,
together
Paul.
For Paul Walling.
My mom was a huge whore, too. I just wanted to point that out. Giant whore.
Coming to the stage right now is Ryan Doon, you guys. Ryan Doon.
Yes.
Ryan is a comedian and a vlogger who you've seen on many television shows, including Marin and in the movies Holiday Breakup. Some of his best work is in a short called Nobody's Looking, which you can find on YouTube. I love that video. You can also find more about Ryan and on his hysterical YouTube channel and also find him on Twitter at RyDoon. All right, you guys, put your hands together for Ryan Doon. And now,
Hi, Ryan.
Tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
I barely need that sign anymore.
Very aggressive.
It's a quality wheel.
Did it ever just go flying off?
No, it hasn't done that.
And the show's over.
Ooh. Drunk Tank.
Oh. The worst.
Don't start yet. Drunk Tank, as in the time I got put in a drunk tank? Because that's never happened.
If you have that story, that would probably be very good.
I don't, but... Hi, guys. My name's Ryan. I've been drunk a lot in my life. I'm Irish Catholic. Grew up in the Boston area, so it's very important to us to, you know, stay drunk. One time I was underage drinking, 19 years old, drinking some beers, watching the Red Sox, when my dad caught me just red-handed. And before I tell more of the story, I need to tell you that my dad sounds like Peter Griffin from Family Guy. Like, for real, he does. And sometimes I respond to him as Cleveland from Family Guy. But he doesn't get it. Anyways, I'm 19 years old, drinking some beers, watching the Sox. My dad comes home early from dinner, much to my surprise, and he catches me red-handed. He comes into the kitchen. He looks down at me, so serious, very disappointed, and he says, "Geez, right. I come home from dinner, and you're having a beer party." So then, of course, I said, "Oh, Peter, now you're just getting crazy." And that's the story of Drunk Tank.
Ryan Dune, you
right
guys.
On time.
Ryan Dune. All right, Danny Zucker, have you ever been drunk?
No. I'm drunk now.
We can tell.
Yeah, no, it's clear. No, that was great. Those are, the first of all, fantastic impressions. Yeah. I loved the way you you seamlessly made it fit into a minute.
Oh, cool.
Especially there at the end. It was like it didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't feel like you were vamping at all. Like, it was just like, I would have paused there no matter what.
Thank you.
All in all, a great story.
All right, Wayne Fetterman.
Oh, I don't know if you're skipping her, but it's
no,
fine.
No, I'm going back.
Okay, all right. First of all, I grew up in Boston.
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
That's my new thing.
Wait, why is that funny? Did you?
Half in Florida, half in Boston.
Oh, Florida. I wasn't listening.
I lived in many, many states. Many, many states. But I wish I knew that show you were talking about. No, that was a great... kidding. I'm stupid. Anyway, that was a very funny story, and thanks for doing it in a minute and reintroducing yourself.
Wendy, did you ever get caught drinking from your parents?
No, but I'm on Molly right now.
Oh. And Wendy, did you ever get caught?
No, I don't drink. I gave it up for rent. But I, but PETA, like PETA.
Yeah.
That's all Lois. I know. PETA.
Yeah, grab me a beer. Yeah.
I can really only do the impression in those words that you heard me say. I can't really do anything else.
All right, you guys. Ryan
Doom.
All right,
sorry, bye.
Can I say something real quickly? There was a beer that when I was growing up called... Schaefer beer.
Schaefer. I remember that.
And they had the greatest tagline, which was Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one. Like, so if you're interested in taste or quality, don't try Schaefer.
Yeah. It's especially, it tastes great after the fifth one.
Yeah
that's basically what they're implying.
Incredible.
Disgusting. All right, you guys, coming up right now to the stage is the very talented Eli Braeden, you guys. Eli Braeden.
Yeah.
He is a frequent contributor to The Howard Stern Show, writing parody songs, but also he writes for the show. He's also written for Jimmy Kimmel Live, The Soup, Fashion Police, and Billy on the Street. If you're not following him on Twitter, you are honestly missing out. Follow Eli over there at Eli Braeden. All right, you guys, put your hands together for Eli Braeden.
Woo. Eli.
Spin, twat, wheel.
Tell them what to do.
It says twat. I'm sorry. Look at it closely. Okay, let's do this. Big money, no whammies.
The Gatling gun.
That's an old reference. I like
that.
Yeah,
I like it. I like to do Civil War.
We did another game show together.
Armament.
Didn't we?
What?
We did another game show together.
I like Eli, like, but I'm not.
We shouldn't be on mic talking right now.
Free. Okay, I get to talk about Freedus. Listen. I think being free is good. It's like the slaves, their lives are definitely better now. Right?
Okay, now you have to choose at this point one of the other topics on
the wheel.
Oh, okay,
one of the other topics.
There.
Okay.
So tell us what you're going to talk about.
I'm going to choose...
This is going to be a good story, man.
I'm going to choose...
That was fantastic.
Hollyweird. I don't know. Hollyweird, okay. So my girlfriend, Van, and I, when we first one of the first times we ever went out, we were out at a bar in Burbank, And we had, it was a crowded bar, really hot spot. And this guy comes up to me, guy in his 50s, handsome, and he's clearly very inebriated. And he's just like, dude, you rock. You are the best. You are so, you're the coolest guy I've ever seen. And he's like talking to Vanna. He's like, you're with this guy? Oh my God, you are so lucky. Dude, bro, you are the coolest. And I'm just like, what's going on? But I immediately, very quickly, I realized this guy is a major celebrity and who I've never seen before in my life, never met, but huge. Can anybody want to guess who it is? Completely wasted. Major TV star. Not Charlie Sheen. Not too far off, though. Not Luke Perry.
Ryan Dune.
It was basically afterwards, after he left, Vanna was like, who was that gay asshole hitting on you? What the fuck? I'm like, baby, that was Kiefer Sutherland. And I guess that's the end of it.
So. Eli Braden, all right.
Kiefer Sutherland wants to fuck me is the bottom line. I mean,
Eli Braden, Wendy, what did you think of that?
I thought his,
stay here.
I thought the fact that he chose Hollyweird, I really liked that.
Thank
out
you.
Of all of them that you chose, so.
I love puns.
And where were you when this all happened?
It was in Burbank, yeah.
And so he goes to Burbank.
I mean, that's more like, is there a pun for Burbank being weird?
No, I'm just thinking,
he hangs in Burbank, yeah.
I'm stalking Kiefer.
Yeah. Well, he also hangs out in my neighborhood in Los Feliz because I see him at Farfalla and I've seen him at the ATM. So there you go.
You know what he's getting out that money to buy, don't you? Booze.
Wayne Fetterman.
Did you just out Kiefer Sutherland? What just happened here?
Yeah, I think he just was really drunk and just thought I looked cool. And I mean, I'm not going to argue with him.
He knows you from Stern, no?
He had no idea who I was. He picked me out of a random lineup of 100 random people in a bar.
I thought he was going to think that you were somebody else.
That's where I thought the story was.
No, I was not going there. It was just like, you're cool.
Maybe the director of Clerks or something.
Oh, thank you. I'm not wearing a hockey jersey for the listeners at home.
I think that's super insulting. So, but like Michael Moore, I can say that we're friends.
Danny Zucker, have you ever been noticed, Danny? Because you're a writer.
I mean,
so
look at me.
Kind of behind the scenes. No, but do people
all heads turn
ever recognize you and come up to you?
I will. Here's the thing. I will occasionally get recognized.
My precious.
So it's like, but it'll be. It's really like once a month, and I'm so happy about it that I had one guy say, you're making this weird to me. Because I was so, let's take a picture. I was really excited. Yeah.
I rarely get recognized, even by my parents. Here, let's
Oh, there they go. That's a selfie.
Can I also say something about the story? I loved the immediate doing a bit about the word free. I thought that was incredible.
Thank you.
Incredible. That was great.
That's all I've got is just bad, dumb bits. I don't have good stories.
But immediately props. You went to slavery. That was great.
Eli Braden, you guys. Put your hands together. Eli Braden. Okay, two more names are in the jar, and here comes another person coming up to tell a true one-minute story, and that is Kristen Carney, you guys. Kristen Carney, what a talent. She's a comic and a writer and an actress, and she has had the pleasure of co-hosting Loveline with Dr. Drew and also The Adam Carolla Show, and now she writes for The Adam Carolla Show, so she's on her way. She's also the host of the Mentally Chill podcast, where she discusses depression with a comedic perspective. You can find her over on Twitter at Kristen Carney. All right, you guys, put your hands together for Kristen Carney. Tell her what to do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Hooking up.
Of course, the first girl that comes on stage has to say she's a slut. Yeah. Perfect. I'm super excited about this. So I was in a relationship for 8 years. So essentially, I got out of hell and then got on a dating app. So I went back into hell. And I met this guy. So I met terrible people. I mean, they're the worst. I shouldn't say people. They're men. I met terrible men who aren't people. And I was just convinced this one guy I had to like. Like, he was the guy. He had good fashion, but he was funny. Oh. Good fashion.
Obviously,
it was these two men. And so I get really nervous on dates. So I, in the Uber, brought a water bottle full of gin and tonic. So I was like an 80-year-old woman in an Uber. And I drank the whole thing, and I have no tolerance because I don't drink a lot. And I'm also classy. And so by the time I got there, I was really, really drunk. And we were there for probably 45 minutes. Thank you. Oh, that was it. God damn. That's basically how the date went. He just, like, I puked on him, essentially.
Kristen Carney.
Thank you very much. I vomited in his shower.
Did you
Thank
really? You.
I wow. swear to God.
Shower.
Oh. In the shower.
In the shower. Because I had already puked on myself.
Oh, okay. So you weren't like, it didn't get to the shower.
No.
It wasn't like,
puking.
Let's take a shower.
I was throwing up in the Uber, then the shower. And he wasn't like, here's an opportunity to hook up. Here's an opportunity to clean
okay,
this woman.
Okay, I have a million questions.
Sorry.
Real quickly, yeah. When you throw up in the Uber, do you get the Uber throw-up charge?
I was very lucky. I threw up directly down onto myself.
Oh, my
no
God.
No Uber charge.
That's
no,
sweet.
He
thank
loved
God.
Me.
Thank God.
Yeah, yeah, Mama raised you right.
Exactly.
She's a classy lady.
You throw up on yourself. Exactly.
Now, see, that was a great topic. She could have told that story for Drunk Tank or for Hollyweird or any of them.
Or
interviews. Breathe. Dating is like interviewing. So.
And so, Wendy, have you ever had you said you don't drink.
I used to drink. But I take Lyft anyway, so that.
yeah.
But I'm just glad you're okay now.
Thank you. And, I'm not. I don't know why I look that way, but
I'm swiping right, or whatever that means.
I'm Wayne Fetterman, have you ever been on a dating app?
Yeah, I was unfortunately on J-Date for a while when I was living in New York, just to try it out, just to see what it was about.
And how many dates do you think you went on?
Well, I wouldn't call them dates. It was more just like, okay, this isn't going to happen.
You mean when you see them in person?
Yeah. Obviously, everyone knows the story of the gap between the photo and the reality. But the
what is that?
No. But it's interesting. I did get a girlfriend off of there, not Jewish. She liked Jewish.
I was on J Date. I'm very not Jewish.
You did it too.
I was on J Date.
They're hooking up right now.
This is happening. This is happening.
This is undercover.
Can we lower the lights?
So I have been on a dating app, but
interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Kristen Carney, you guys. Woo. Put your hands together for Kristen Carney. One more name in the jar coming up right now to tell a true one-minute story. Yeah. And this is the last person in this round. Then we're going to do it all again with two-minute stories. And this is a lovely talent named Melinda Hill, you guys. Melinda Hill. She's an award-winning comedian, writer, and an actress. Some of her credits include the Emmy and Peabody award-winning show Adventure Time, the viral hit Confessions of a Tooth Fairy with Kristen Wiig, Netflix's Lady Dynamite, Showtime's Roadies, and her web series Romantic Encounters with Melinda Hill. And I have to tell you, she does a Melania Trump impression she's just amazing. I don't know if we're going to get her off the stage without doing a Melania Trump impression. All right, you guys, if you want to find her, head over to Twitter and find her there at Melinda Hill. Okay, put your hands together for Melinda Hill. Woo, here she comes. And tell her what to do, everybody. Tell her what to do.
Okay,
worst. She landed on audience, and this is very exciting because you guys can now shout out any story topic you'd like to hear.
Melania Trump.
And you guys will choose a topic. So what else? What do you guys want to hear?
Family vacation.
Family vacation. Anything else?
Bad date.
Bad date.
First ladies.
First ladies.
High school.
Wow, not a lot to choose from.
Family vacation.
Wow, she didn't even consult
well,
with us.
Vacation's
I guess
on there,
it's
not
family. Like, no, we're
I
not
was
here.
Just giving okay, my two cents.
Female splaining.
I mean, yeah.
Well, I'm getting some information from offstage that we cannot accept vacation because it's already on the wheel. So we need a topic that is not on the wheel.
Oh, it's already on the wheel.
Bad haircut, dad, first job,
first time drinking,
losing your virginity.
Divorce,
J-date, high school. All right, guys, think about it.
Is high school on the board?
High school's not on the board.
Well, let's clear it with Wendy because obviously...
She's to decide.
It's high school.
Okay, cool.
High school is the topic. All right, Melinda Hill, give her a round of applause, you guys.
Okay, high school. So what happened is we invented fake boyfriends in high school. And their names were Chip and something else, Chip and Blaine. And we
were, because everyone had boyfriends, and then so we made up these boyfriends, and we told our friends every weekend they're in college, and they buy us wine coolers, and we have very happening lives with them, and that's why we can't talk to you over the weekend. And everyone's like dying to meet Chip and Blaine, and we would steal wine coolers and bring them to party and be like, compliments of Chip and Blaine. And we became really popular, and finally everyone's like, we got to meet them. We're like, this is it's the weekend. We're having the big party at Chip and Blaine's. And it was before cell phones. So we had to invent this party at my house. My brother was the DJ, and everyone was calling us going, this address doesn't work. You know, we were like, what? We want to talk, but and hanging up and making up.
Melinda Hill. Yeah,
thank you.
That was really funny. And that's not easy to do. Okay, Wayne
thank
Fetterman.
Thank you.
Well, I had fake friends in high school. They were Dave and Buster, though. So, like,
Wendy, how were your high school years?
I was a cheerleader. And
oh,
I wasn't
tough,
on. I
tough.
Wasn't on the team. I was just very positive about everything.
Danny Zucker.
I made up a lot of fake girlfriends, particularly when I showered.
Wow.
Yeah, just being honest. It's a lot when those hormones come in.
That was a very funny story. Thanks, Melinda Hill, you guys. Give her a hand.
Chip and Blaine.
Melinda Hill.
Where are they now?
All the contestants' names are back in the jar, and they're going to come back up to the stage right now to tell a true two-minute story, which I think is double the fun. Anything? Judges?
Oh, sorry. I was writing my notes.
Okay.
I was saying this really quick. You know,
this is exciting. I give you guys paper and pens.
Yeah,
and you
no,
can
I'm
make
trying
it look
to,
like you're busy.
Right, high school, Chip and Blaine.
Gotta. All right, you guys. Coming up right now for a true two-minute story is Ryan Doon. Give him a round of applause. Here he comes, you guys. Tell him what to do. All right. Audience again, you guys. This is super fun. Yell out some suggestions. Come on, you guys. What do you want?
Cars.
Family Guy.
Masturbation.
Cars. Family Guy. Okay, so you have to masturbation. You have Florida, and you have high school. What did you say?
Cars.
Clothes.
I think Ryan liked the masturbation one.
Okay.
Masturbation, that's what it is. All right, you guys, give him a round
doesn't?
Of applause.
Right. I was going to go cars just for the
Come on,
record.
More applause, you guys. This is not easy. Come on.
Woo! The record.
Okay, so masturbation. I do it around once a day. Is that what this is about? 2 minutes. Okay. Masturbation, let me tell you guys about the one I discovered. Masturbation. I was at Dorian's house. You guys know Dorian Lynch, right? From Mad Boys in Massachusetts. I was at his house, sixth grade, a little late on that. And Dorian and Raymond Jarvis, you know Raymond Jarvis, right? They're talking about jerking off. And I was like, what's that? I was like, they're like, Rye. It's like, if you just like do this, and they showed me. Is that weird? Just do this to your dick. And like then you'll come. And I was like, what? Where am I going? And he was like, no, you'll jizz. And I was like, who's the new rapper? What? Jigga Man? Jay-Z? I was like, what? That's crazy. I'm not going to do that. And then we all went to bed. It's a sleepover. Not together. We were, all right. It was Dorian Lynch. You guys know Dorian. He was on his bed. I was on the floor. Then Raymond Jarvis. You guys know Raymond Jarvis. He's to my left. They fall asleep, I think. And I start jerking off. I'm thinking, like, this hurts. It stings. And I'm not sure if Dorian is awake. Then I kept going. Guess what, guys? I didn't jizz. I shot a blank, but I still, like, felt an orgasm. So I was wondering, like, where the jizz was. But holy shit, it was amazing. I was like, a whole new world opened up in my life. Even after that, like doing homework, I'd be struggling through them. I was like, oh God, I hate school. And I really had a thought one night. I was like, well, at least masturbation exists. For real, for real. All right, let's all masturbate tonight. Thank you, guys.
Ryan Doon, a great personal story. A lot of information right there.
It was.
Okay, Wendy Liebman.
Oh. Yeah.
Could you relate to that?
Well, I thought he was really funny. I thought he said, "Where am I going?" When you were responding to your friends, they said you would come.
Right.
And I just want to know how old you were.
Sixth grade, so what's that?
12.
Well, I was kind of stupid. I was 15. No, 12, whatever.
Wayne Fetterman.
Well, that is an insane story. So you were literally at a sleepover and your buddies taught you how to masturbate.
Yeah, yeah. And they were on either side of me, too. So.
And then you just tried it that night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, I have a crazy thing because this is going to be super personal. Have you ever had something called a nocturnal emission?
Have I ever in my life?
No, before that, previous to that.
Neither sleep. Previous nor afterwards. What's up? I want to jerk off when I sleep. It would be great. I never have. Anyways.
Really? No wet dreams at all?
Not that I know of.
Wow. Interesting.
You would know.
Danny Zucker, any thoughts on that?
No, I was self-taught.
You were homeschooled, right?
Yeah, never had any lessons.
You're a natural.
I'm kind of the Mozart of masturbation. Just a prodigy.
Prove it.
I was watching an I Dream of Jeannie rerun, and I noticed, and I'm like six, honestly. I was precocious, and I just felt my pants feel tight. And she affected me.
Yeah. Oh, it was her. I thought it might have been.
Barbara Eden. Yeah, no. It was Larry Hagman. No, it was Barbara Eden.
It was Major Barbara. Healy.
Ryan Doon, you guys. Yeah. Ryan Doon. That was amazing. And that's not easy to do. He did not know that topic ahead of time. That was really great. Okay, you guys, coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is Melinda Hill. Melinda Hill. Here she comes, you guys. All right, here she is. Tell her what to do.
I have a request while the wheel is spinning. Quick, Melania.
I want you to know that I support and you all women's. Unless you women's born in other country or who need health insurance.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
That is truly amazing.
The dark wig on. It's unbelievable.
Amazing. Oh my God, she got the same topic.
School days, you got to spin it again.
No, I mean, she got high school from the
audience. Oh, I see. Let me go right over here to the
judge. Go
the judge. The law.
It's pretty close.
She had high school earlier, and now she just landed on school days.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
wow, what a stickler.
The hammer is coming down that she needs to tell another story about school days. It could be at elementary school or college or, you know, if you went to a trade school, Melinda.
Or?
All right, here she goes, you guys. Give her a big round of applause.
Well, back to me in school. So we moved 27 times when I was growing up. So I was like always the new girl. And people are like, oh, is your dad in the military? And while he was in the Navy, he's also just he's in the bipolar army. So he really was like on a manic high. And so we just moved. He would love to move on a manic high. And sometimes we move in the middle of the night. He'd be like, come on, but like really happy about it. Like, come on, kids, pack your bags, we're leaving. And we'd be like, yeah. It was really exciting. And so it was like always the new girl. And then I went to college on an acting and writing scholarship. And I was writing and acting. And one night I took ecstasy. I'm not a big drug person. And I didn't appreciate that everyone's like touching you all the time. They're just like, oh, you're so beautiful. It's so fake. But then I ended up talking out my whole feelings the whole night to this person I met. He was a long hair. And he made like this music. It was like dolphin sounds. Like that was the whole music. Anyway, the next day I got severely depressed. I guess that's what happens after ecstasy. But in my case, it resulted in me throwing all my possessions over the balcony of my college apartment and moving to California. And I've been here ever since. Thank you.
Melinda Hill, you guys. Melinda Hill. Wow, that when she said she went to 27 schools, what did you think in your head?
She said she moved 27 times.
Moved, yeah, that's what I meant. Moved 27 times. What did you think when she said that?
That sounds like an exaggeration.
No.
That sounds like a lot. 27 times.
You know what I thought? I thought, no wonder why she's a comedian.
Yeah, she's used to traveling.
And just trans
and being in front of people. Hi, this is the new girl.
All right, we're back to high school. Danny, tell us something about your high school days. what group were you in? Were you in the Stoners? Were you a band geek? What were you?
I was in a lot of groups. I was what you'd call a floater. So I was very into musical theater. And I was. Shut up. I got enough of that from the jocks. It was great being... I was probably the only straight guy in musical theater.
Can you give us a little Nathan Detroit?
A little bit. Luck be a lady tonight. But
that was Sky Masterson.
I don't know. I'm straight, I said. give me a break. I was in Pippin. I mean, whatever. It was great being the straight guy in musical theater, though, because there was just no competition. Yeah. Like, because I was with all these incredibly handsome men who were not interested in the actresses.
Right.
And I would tell my football player friends were like, hey, you're gonna... It's like, I got it made. I don't care. I hope no one finds out about musical theater.
That's right. It was your little secret.
Yeah, it was my little
secret. All right, Wayne Fetterman.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I auditioned for Pippin, couldn't get in. not in high school. We did in college, but has my favorite lyric of all musical theater, which is, join us, leave your...
cares behind.
No. Leave your. Just,
Wendy Liebman, get on.
No. It's join us, leave your cares and sorrows. Join us, leave your cheese to sour.
No. Is it really cheese to sour?
Yeah, it's cheese to sour.
I feel like I was in that number.
Stephen Schultz. Stephen Schwartz. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But what were you asking?
Well, I was asking about Melinda's story and what you might have thought about that.
Sorry. You're right.
And then
I also
was going to ask about Pippin. That was a different thing.
No. Never mind. Never,
I saw Pippin twice.
You did?
Okay. Excellent.
I don't know. She was it's incredible. She's charming, incredible.
And
I
the Melania accent. Forget
well,
about
Melania it. Melania thing's great.
That was a bonus.
And I always feel bad for funny people who don't have at least one fucked up parent. I think they're at a disadvantage. Like, my dad was so fucking nuts, and it just gave me, like, so much. But occasionally you'll meet a funny person who's like, yeah, no, I love my mom and dad. They're great. And everything was great. And we threw a ball. And I'm like, fuck you. And you're funny. So,
all right, you guys. Melinda Hill, give her a round of applause. There's only a few more stories left, you guys, for the whole evening. So right now, put your hands together for Eli Braden. Eli Braden. Here he comes. All right, you guys. Let Eli know what to do.
Spin that wheel. Boy, I tell you what, if I get school days, my cheese is going to be so sour. I'm serious. I do not want to talk about that. That was not a good time.
Also, masturbation still.
Oh, I was close. Well, I guess this is growing up.
Way different than school days.
Okay. Let's see. First time I ever went to Burning Man. You guys know Burning Man? I was like 19 years old. I was a skinny, dirty piece of shit hippie. And I was there for 3 or 4 days. I didn't think to bring a change of clothes. I was not wearing underwear. I was wearing one pair of jeans and like a t-shirt. I was such a piece of shit. I was the worst person. And I went there with 3 friends in a blue cargo van with flowers painted on the side. Why did we get pulled over every 3 weeks? I don't know. But anyway, I get to Burning Man, and like within a half an hour, I don't know what I was smoking or whatever drugs I was doing, but I do know this much, within 30 minutes, I had hooked up with some girl, and we went off into my van, and like even though I was not very sexual experienced because I was brought up Catholic and in the small town Illinois, and like I legitimately had 3 opportunities to lose my virginity and stopped it because I was afraid I'd catch AIDS from like a high school girl at a farm town in the Midwest. I'm sorry. I want to have sex with you, but I do not want to get AIDS and also the Catholic thing. But I was 19. I had sex at that point. And basically it was going there in the back of the cargo van with this young, beautiful young hippie lady, flower child at Burning Man. And I guess I hadn't masturbated enough. You know, you got to clear the pipes. And within 5-10 minutes, I jizz my jeans, the only pair of jeans I'd brought the whole weekend. And this is completely fucking true. And I was just, so I made a polite but curt exit. I just halted the proceedings. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I have to go. And she was just like, what? But you know how young, dumb, stone people are. She didn't take offense. Okay, cool. See you, man. And so I walked around with my in a pair of jeans crusted with cum for the next 3 or 4 days. And I would see her at least 3 times a day walking around and just be like, hey, what's up? What's up? So, yeah, I'm a lot better person now.
Eli Braden, you guys. Eli Braden on Growing Up.
Jesus. I have to say that I always felt that the cum encrusted jeans was how a ticket to get into Burning Man.
Well, you know, the guy who created Burning Man just died.
I just saw
so
that.
So we only have 70,000 yearly attendees to go. I'm not a fan of Burning Man.
I've never been to Burning Man, but I did start a kitchen fire once.
How did you do that, Wendy?
At an Applebee's.
You started a kid? No, you didn't.
I'm just making jokes. But I've never been to Burning Man, but I heard it's like a real scene.
It's a scene.
And you know, you could have just taken your clothes off and burnt them and walked around naked the rest of the 4 days.
But I have a very small penis, so.
Okay, Danny Zucker.
I don't have a small penis.
I'm kind of ashamed of this story, but I also. I mean, what's premature? I don't know. But
I labeled
it's a judgment call, I think. Because for me, it felt right on time. But it was also in my slacks. I don't know if they were jeans. I imagine they were khakis, which made it worse. But I didn't want her to know about it. And I panicked. And the first thing I said was, I have to go. My father died. I'm not joking.
That's a euphemism.
Nope. I just said I'm sorry, my father died. It's too soon. And I left because I had to do that. And I really felt bad.
And then you did
many
laundry.
Years later, he then died. And I
and you masturbated? Can't
help but feel responsible.
Can I say one other thing? You had a quote in this story. This is something I've never said in my life. I hope to someday. Is we went off to my van. That's something no. I've never heard.
That's a beautiful thing.
No.
All right, you guys. Eli Braden, let him hear it.
You hear it in a police report, though.
Okay, you guys. Two-minute stories left, and then we move into the third round, and we're going to wrap it up. Right now, coming to the stage for a true two-minute story is Kristen Carney, you guys. Kristen Carney. All right, more. Kristen Carney. All right, let her hear it. Tell her what to do.
Wheel.
What, do you think I'm stupid? Carney. I wasn't here the last time? Okay, I'll spin it.
Do Melania while you're waiting. No.
The only impression I can do is like Grandpa Joe from like Willy Wonka, just like laying in bed.
I'll listen to that.
Okay. That's me.
Pretty good.
Interviews.
Oh, okay, interviews. This is the story. I didn't want to get this. Is the clock started? Because this is a
no,
short
whenever
story.
You're ready, it'll go.
Okay. I'm telling the story.
Yeah.
Okay, started it. Okay. So, when I saw interview on the thing, I thought, okay, well, either interview as in an interviewer or as an interviewee. And I do neither, essentially, because one, you have to have jobs to get interviews. I don't have jobs. I am a lazy piece of shit. Genuinely, the only job interviews I've had have been like for waitressing, and they're like, "What do you want?" Like, or they would say, "What do you do if you want the person to buy more?" And I'm like, "I don't know, like be sexy," but they're like, "No, ask for chicken on the Caesar salad." Like those, like so, I just never got the answers right.
Up sales.
Thank you. So the only interview I could kind of think of that would be a story. Was I went when I first moved to LA, I went to this commercial workshop for agents. Like I was looking for a commercial agent. And this guy showed up and he was very like Italian and like kind of like ba-ba-dee. You know what I mean? And so I saw him and I was like, a ba-ba-dee. You know, like I wanted to kind of get on the same page. And so he liked me a lot. And all of a sudden, I got an email from his assistant, and if someone has an assistant, clearly they're successful, right? He was successful, so I was excited, and I'm like, okay, someone who I wouldn't normally be invited to talk to is inviting me to talk to him. So I went, but that morning, I woke up, and this is just the way my luck goes, especially with this podcast, because this is going to be on a podcast and now forever on the internet. When I woke up in the morning for that interview to be with his commercial agency, which was a big agency, these guys know. You guys, regular people probably, just kidding. But you guys, totally not, just kidding. It was a big agency. I get there, but I woke up that morning, of course, with a giant cold sore on my lip. So he didn't want to have sex with me. I didn't get cast with him, or like I wasn't put on his list. The end.
Kristen Carney.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
give you. Her a little sympathy. Wayne Fetterman.
Well, let thank me just you. Say, I've heard a lot of Italian accents in my life. But that yeah. one, just brought, I literally, I was like, am I in Sicily? This is amazing. What's no. happening here?
You should try my sauce. It's just as good.
It was crazy. It put me right there. Yeah.
I can do it again if you need me to.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Too bad you didn't interview for The Sopranos. You would have killed.
Abadee.
All right, Wendy Liebman, you're laughing.
I'm laughing. I'm stuck on that you're a lazy piece of shit. That's what, yeah.
So today I was in bed until 5:30.
Oh, you were taking care of your cold sores?
Yes, yes. Okay. It takes a lot of time because there's a lot down here. That I haven't really, I'm just kidding. I don't have any. There's a difference, by the way.
Yeah.
And by the way, I got the cold sore from my mom when I was like 1 year old as an infant.
Right. Okay, for the record. That.
I don't have vaginal herpes, but I can get some.
Okay, let's end
to.
On that. Kristen Carney, you guys. Kristen Carney,
you.
Out of here.
Thank you. Thank you.
The greatest thing
okay,
I've ever heard.
Okay, one more person coming up for
I'm
a
done.
Troop,
okay.
sir. You got to go.
The greatest.
Kristen Carney. All right. We.
The greatest thing I've ever heard.
All right, you guys,
ever
one
heard.
More person telling a true two-minute story,
it.
And we're moving on to the third round. But right now, put your hands together for Paul Walling, you guys. Yeah. Paul Walling. All right, tell him what to do.
That was a good spin.
That's a better one, right?
I'll stay healthy.
Yeah, he learns from his mistakes.
I'm nothing if not consistent.
No, you weren't.
Okay, he's on Drunk Tank.
So we've done that. So he's allowed to do
he
this?
He hasn't done that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you look like a drinker to me.
Aw.
You know.
In a good way.
Funny story.
That's really not a compliment.
I was a very heavy drinker until January.
Oh.
I'm now a moderately heavy. No, I have not had a drink since January 8th or something like that. But it wasn't intentional that I stopped drinking. It was really just a dry January gone wrong. I should back up a little. Yeah, I got a few seconds. I started drinking late. I was not a drinker in high school. I was a do-gooder. I was a bit of a drinker in college, but I was that guy who would take a full red solo cup of beer and then pour it out because I wanted to be present for everybody. And then I went to law school. And there's a reason they call it the Bar Association. Because what you really learn in law school is not law, it's how to drink. And what lawyers need are drinks in their lives. And so, even though I didn't end up practicing law after law school, I did end up drinking with a lot of lawyers I met in law school. And I could say my favorite drinks and try new drinks with the best of them. A Maker's Manhattan on the rocks, that just rolls off the tongue. And it goes down the gullet a lot. So when I got into my current career and actually wanted to be present and listen to people and remember what they said the night before, that's when I finally wised up. And who knows, it might last. But I might have a drink later too.
Paul Walling, you guys. Paul Walling. All right. What'd you think, Danny?
I'm going to be honest. I feel like you're threatening us a little bit. That it puts because I, you know, I'm not, you know, right now I'm not putting you at the top of the list. But now I think if I don't, does that send you off on a bender and you then subsequently die? So it's really I'm upset.
It could be all your fault.
It would be all my fault, like when I killed my dad.
Wayne Fetterman.
Well, I mean, everyone knows that the lawyers drink. I read, did you read Thurgood Marshall's? Okay, I couldn't even say his name right. Never mind. But that's amazing. So did you make it through law school?
I did, yeah. I actually finished law school.
Did you take that test?
I did not take the bar examination.
Wow, it sounds like a long way to go.
That
not
sounds
take
the
it.
Story I want to hear. Like, what happened? Did you just like, I don't want, is I it mean, too much risk?
Well, the short story is that I was there from 99 to 02, and two things happened. Bush v. Gore happened.
Right.
And that shook me, because that was the legal system just going amok.
Right.
And then 9/11
the 5
happened.
To 4 decision, guys. Yeah, we yep, remember yep. it.
Jesus. What'd you do? What did you do when Trump won?
I was already checked out. I drank a lot.
Mom and dad psyched just toss away that $500,000?
All right, you guys. Drinking. Paul Walling, let him hear it. Okay, now this is the exciting part of the show because you guys have the difficult task of
really
choosing
hard.
Two people to move forward. And I have to tell you, you only have a minute because we're going to move along here.
Okay.
And we got 6 minutes of stories coming up and we got to wrap this whole thing up. So okay. You guys decide. And I want to thank a couple of people that are here, including Richard in the back on the sound. Thanks, Richard. Applause. Clapping is free.
Oh, yeah.
And give it up to Jim Coughlin. Jim Coughlin sitting right here working on the clock. And we've got Julie behind the bar. Thanks, Julie. No wait staff in this room, so she does everything. And a big round of applause to my co-producer, John Cohen. Give him a big round of applause. We've been playing this game for a long time, and over the last year, we've really, really picked up some steam. So it's really exciting. We've got a new website called StorySmashShow.com. So head over there, StorySmashShow.com. And also, we're back here at the Improv on May 26th. Saturday, May 26th. And those tickets are on sale now. So you walk out of here, you buy a ticket, and then you go to your car. Also, I want to give a big round of applause to all the contestants tonight. Obviously, you guys. Please, put your hands together for Eli Braden, Ryan Doon, Paul Walling, Melinda Hill, and Kristen Carney. All amazing talents. And now you guys are going to be putting two names in this jar. And I think that Wendy's got the names. She's putting them in the jar. One, two. Was it a hard decision, you guys?
Very difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Wouldn't have been my choices.
Coming to the stage right now for a true 3-minute story is the very talented Kristen Carney. Oh. All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Disease ridden.
Well.
How dare you, by the way? This wasn't your decision.
No, I didn't. I folded.
Okay. Oh, I spun it. Right.
Okay, going around. We're getting close. Yeah. Holly Weird, you guys. Holly Weird.
This place is haunted.
Okay, another thing when I first moved here, there's a lot of stories when you're desperate. And when you move to LA, you're desperate. So I was desperate. I first moved here, and I do this thing where I check my trash inbox, where I'm like, maybe this is where the good news is. Like, maybe. I got cast for a big movie, and it's in my trash box. So I always check my trash. So one day, I check my trash. I swear to God, I had an invite from LA Casting to go to this audition, but I didn't apply for it because usually you have to submit. These people, again, we would know because we're in the biz. You guys. Just kidding. So it's pathetic. Don't do it. So... I check my trash. It's there. There's an audition notice that says you've been called for the second round of auditions for this. Or it's a casting thing for Virgin Airlines for a print ad. And I've never done any sort of modeling. I have no self-esteem. I would never submit to such a thing unless it like called for like also putting out. Then I'd be like, okay, maybe I could do that. So I go to the. I go to the casting, I get there, and it's all like 6 foot or 5 foot 11 model women. I am 5 foot four, 5 foot four and a half on a good day. And I get there, and it was like, I just walked in, and it was just like a blank kind of silence. Like, I clearly was not invited. I'm not supposed to be here, but I was like, well, I'm going to go. It's in my trash box. What else am I going to do? The food I eat essentially is in my trash box. It's McDonald's. So I go. It's what I know. So the girls there were like, what are you doing here? In kind of in this weird, like judgy way. And I'm like, and so I was trying to stand tall and I was like, what do you mean? I'm obviously clearly supposed to be here. But they all had portfolios of their modeling careers. I had a manila envelope with like a $50 headshot that I paid for. And I was like, oh, I'm here for the casting. I put it under my chair so no one could see it. So the woman comes around who's the photographer, and this is now the next level of casting. So essentially, like, these girls had all, like, made the cut. And so I'm with the girls that made the cut, but I don't fit in at all. And so the woman comes around who's directing the whole thing, and I think she was a photographer or something. And she looks at me, and she just kind of goes like, And I was like, hey. And so all of a sudden the door opens, another girl walks in, she's like 5'3.5". And everyone's like, Either these girls are sucking dicks or like something is happening for us to get into this casting. It makes no sense. So anyway, they cast us. The two of us, we end up, they're looking for someone who's really short. It turns out there's like a mistake in the computer. I'm like, this makes sense. So the two of us basically went like this because they were looking for small people. We just went like this until one of us got casted. I got casted.
Yeah. Woo! Kristen Carney, you guys. Kristen
Thank you.
Carney.
That is weird.
And listen, we have no time to talk to the judges. We're going to go straight to the next storyteller. Okay. Sorry about
that. I had an amazing anecdote.
And the final storyteller on tonight's show. And by the way, the winner is going to get my famous chocolate chip cookies. Ooh. Right there. Yes. And that contestant coming up right now for a true 3-minute story is Eli Braden, you guys. Eli Braden. Ooh. All right, you guys, here he comes. Tell him what to do.
I think Danny just got me up here because he felt guilty about comparing me to Michael Moore. So
I did.
Slow down. Come on. We don't have time for this bullshit. Let's go. Interviews. Let's see. I got one of my best. Craziest day of my life, involving jobs, job interviews. This was 2012, late 2012. I just got my first writing job ever on the show. We all know it. We all love it. We all remember it fondly. Upload with Shaquille O'Neal on True TV. Amazing. In the clip show market, it's creme de la creme. It's basically Shaq. You know. Surrounded by three sycophantic mediocre comedians, and then they show a clip from the internet, and Shaq's like, "That's funny," and then they make jokes, and then he laughs. I got my first writing job. That was a huge deal, and it was amazing. And the second day of my job, the Tuesday of that week, I'm driving home from Santa Monica to Pasadena, and I get a call, and I pick it up. It's Doug DeLuca, who's the executive producer of the Jimmy Kimmel Show, and he's like, Eli, we have somebody on staff, writing staff, who is taking a leave of absence for pregnancy. We want to bring you in to write on the show. We love you. We've been following you. And it's like the most amazing thing in my life. It's basically like I'm having this job interview on the phone. Are you available? You know, would you be interested in this? I've just got my first Hollywood job, and then I get like the job, the greatest job imaginable. And that's a job interview, right? That's... Yeah. Meets the criteria. Nobody's going to call me out on that bullshit. Okay. So basically at this point, I'm like, my life is set. My career, I am so great. I'm feeling so good about myself. So I have this job interview on the way home talking to Doug DeLuca about starting at Jimmy Kimmel, which I had to go in the next day and be like, I'm leaving Shaq. Sorry. Believe me, I was back the next season because everything went south. But then I got home and I... talked to my wife at the time, and I was like, "You're not going to believe what happened today." I just started my first Hollywood job, right? I got a call. Jimmy Kimmel's hiring me to write on staff temporarily. It might lead to something more. And then she was like, "That's so great! Congratulations!" And then within about an hour, she told me she wanted a divorce. And I subsequently found out she was banging this dude from New Orleans. And I don't know. I'm not looking for pity here. It happened. It's life. Everything turned out for the best. I have a lovely girlfriend. Me and my ex-wife, we're on great terms. We raise our kids. It's fantastic. I'm not looking for pity. Laugh. Don't look at me with sighs. Everything's good. But
the sad part, if you're going to pity me for anything, it's that Kimmel didn't hire me full time. And I still kind of have a little bit of a bone in my throat about that. Like, what was I not good enough? But anyway, you know, let's just... 12 seconds left. Fuck it. You know? Okay. Thank you.
Eli Braden, you guys. Eli Braden. Okay.
Time for their commentary.
Sorry.
Right?
No time for commentary. Thank you very much, Eli Braden, you guys.
I was going to say you look like Antonio Banderas, but I guess I don't have time for that.
And I was going to say my first show was on that Shaq show as one of those comedians. So thank you for that.
Okay. So now these guys are going to take a minute and decide who's the winner of Story Smash tonight. And you guys decide you're
about
to. We've
decided. We've decided.
Okay. Great. And I tell you, this person, whoever wins, is going to come back May 26th and to appear on the show again. So that'll be fun. Meantime, one more round of applause for Richard in the back. Thanks, Richard. Right. Julie over here. Jim Coughlin over here. John Cohen over there. All the amazing judges. Danny Zucker, Wendy Liebman, Wayne Fetterman. Come on,
you
guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That's a lot of
it was very close,
right,
but we had to make a quick decision. We had to make a quick decision.
Wendy Liebman, would you tell... Well, first of all, tell us, was it a hard decision? Or
it was very, very hard.
Very hard.
It was.
Yeah. We deliberated.
We deliberated for seconds.
We deliberated.
Because you only gave us seconds.
All right, but you know who you want.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Wendy Liebman, go ahead and announce the winner of Story Smash.
The winner
is... favorite metrosexual, Eli Braden.
Yeah. Eli Braden, you guys, come on up. Eli Braden,
congratulations. Things didn't go south tonight for him.
Thank you so much for coming out tonight, folks. My name's Christine Blackburn. Good night.
Truly was a hard decision. Thank you. This was one of the hardest ones. Yeah. I'm not just saying.
It was a difficult one.
I would like to cut in. This is my second time playing Story Smash. Second time I was the runner-up.
Oh.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Get one cookie.
I would like to say, since Kanye is trending right now, I thought I'd pull a Kanye. He used divorce to his advantage. Yeah. He looked for sympathy. My 8-year relationship guaranteed was fucking worse than that shit. Anyway, congratulations, Eli Braden.
Thanks, Eli.
Thank you, everybody. I know you voted for me. Thank you. Good night, everybody.